Wow. What a brilliant story there by Nick Weston. Nick, Thea, we love you guys. We're so thankful that God brought you into relationship with him and into the family of God. We're so thankful for the Hidden Gem Church and for that minister being available at Need God. What a joy it is to be here with you this morning from our Manchester Central campus in a mostly empty auditorium, apart from a few of the crew who are here making church possible. Listen, I wonder if right where you are right now, I think it'd be good for us to just to take a moment to thank everybody who's made church happen over the last 3 months. So many volunteers, so many staff have been working relentlessly, tirelessly behind the scenes to make this possible. So come on, just for a moment, why don't you put your hands together and thank every single person who's been making it possible. If you haven't yet been on the Audacious Kids YouTube channel, make sure you check that out as well, because it truly is remarkable. Keith and Sarah and all of the team working there behind the scenes doing such a brilliant job with that. Today we're launching our new series out of Manchester Central, out of the auditorium here. This is my first time preaching for 3 whole months. So we'll see if my voice can keep up with the next 30 minutes or so as we do this. Listen, if we were to replay time just a little bit and go back to March the 23rd. On March the 23rd, I was at home with my wife. It was Monday. We have been together in ministry on this journey together for 25 years this year. And it has been our habit, our routine, to take Monday as our day off. Weekends tend to be the busiest time of the week for us. And so Monday is our day of rest, our day just to kind of do household things and to spend time together. And I got to be really honest with you that on March the 23rd this year, as my wife and I sat down to have a late afternoon movie, early evening movie, I totally forgot that that night our Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, was going to make an announcement associated with lockdown and what lockdown would look like. It had totally escaped my brain. Now, we had watched what had taken place in Hong Kong, in China, in Singapore, and had been talking to friends as well who were experiencing lockdown in that moment and in that season. But, you know, there was almost a sense in the back of my mind where I was thinking to myself, really? Is that really going to happen here? Is it really going to take place in England? And so watching the movie that late afternoon, that night with my wife, I had my phone on the chair next to me, and the phone started to buzz, and it buzzed, and it kept on buzzing, and I realized that something was going on. So I turned my phone over and saw dozens of messages coming in from people within the life of our church, people, church pastors around the nation and the nations of the world, saying, what are we going to do? I said to Sophie, Soph, I'm going to have to go and see what the announcement is. I ran downstairs, I jumped on the computer, went on the news websites to realize that lockdown was upon us. And in that moment, I realized that life as we knew it in Britain had changed. Life was going to be different from that point. I remember talking to the senior team in the life of church saying, hey guys, we need to get into the studio. We need to start to film some services. And we came together and we managed to put together 11, 12 weekends of church pre-recorded that we would do together. And of course, up until last weekend, that's what you have been watching, the pre-recorded sermons, the pre-recorded services that we managed to put together during that time. But COVID-19 changed everything because life as we know it has changed, and it is still different right now. Of course, in this season as well, we have the George Floyd tragedy and associated events and the awareness of racial inequality that people are dealing with and having to navigate in isolation. And the challenge of what we're seeing in society today is really great. It almost feels like everything has been shaken. I want you to imagine this illustration, this story with me right now. Imagine you're with your spouse, a friend. You're driving into a city that you don't know to go to a restaurant that you've never been to before. And in driving into this particular city, your GPS loses signal. And in losing signal, you don't know where you are. Now, in this point, there are two types of people. There are the type of people who will just plow on regardless.
looking, hopefully finding the destination. Maybe you're like that. The second person is the crazy type of person. I'm not the type of person. The crazy type of person who would stop and ask somebody they don't know for directions. I mean, think about it. You're asking someone you don't know. You don't know the fruit of their life. You don't know where they're from. You don't know if they're a cartographer, if they're a chief scout. You don't know if they're SAS. You don't know who they are, but you stop to ask someone you don't know for directions to where you want to go. So imagine that scenario with me. You wind down the window. You say to this strange person you've never met before, "Excuse me, I'm trying to find the Peking Duck restaurant." And this person walking a dog, you don't know, he says, "Oh, I know exactly where the Peking Duck is." He says, "If you drive just another 2 or 3 blocks, you're going to see a red car parked on the side of the road. When you get to the red car, turn left. Go another 2 or 3 blocks, and there you'll see a sleeping dog on the footpath. When you see the dog sleeping, take a right, go another 3 blocks or so, and when you get to the ice cream van that's serving ice cream to children, then take a left there and you're going to find the Peking Duck." At which point you say thank you and you leave. And in leaving, you drive away from that moment. And I would hazard a guess that you have no confidence whatsoever about the directions that this person gave to you. None whatsoever. Why? The reason is simple. It's because all of the reference points that this person gave to you were movable. The reference points could change at any time. That red car may no longer be parked on the side of the road. That sleeping dog may have chased a cat. And that ice cream van may no longer be serving ice cream to children at that particular destination. It's because deep within you and I, deep within us all, we recognize the need for fixed points of reference, fixed points that are immovable and unshakable. I think what COVID-19 has done is this, is that it's caused us to reevaluate life. Why is that? It's because anything that can be shaken has been shaken. We've seen job security shaken. And gosh, how thankful are we for the furlough scheme at present? We see that in our nation, the economy has been shaken. Did you see the news this week that just in the month of April, our economy in the nation plummeted by 20%? Health has been shaken. As I look around this mostly empty auditorium, a few of the staff are in making online church available. But as I look around seeing masks on people's faces, I'm realizing again that health has been shaken. Family life has been shaken. Marriages have been shaken. Society truly has been shaken. And so my question is this, is what do you do when things have been shaken? When things are shaking, what do? I want to suggest that what you do is find a fixed reference point, a fixed point of reference. At this point, we're going to turn to the Bible. Now listen, if you doubt the authenticity of the Bible in any way, can I encourage you on our Audacious Church YouTube channel, if you go back just a few weeks or so, you'll see that we did a 3-part series called the Bible Series, where we spoke about the authenticity of the Bible. But let me read you this verse in Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, it says this, that Jesus Christ, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, in this season right now, when everything is being shaken, there is one person that you can anchor and fix your life to, and that is the person of Jesus Christ, God who came to earth, God who loved you so much, God who loved me so much. He stepped out of heaven, He came to earth so that we could have relationship with God. The Bible says that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, He is immovable. He is unshakable. He won't turn. He won't regress. He's not defeated. He won't alter in any way. Church, I want you to know that right now, Jesus Christ is someone right now in this season that you can anchor to. He is worth fixing too. I guess our real problem, though, is how do we explain such a magnificent God to you? How do we explain a God that is immovable and unshakable to you? Well, the Bible's done a brilliant job with this. What the Bible has done is the Bible has given us over 100 names. And each of these names say something about the nature and the character of God, which helps us to realize that in a season where everything is shaking and is shakable, there is one thing that is unshakable, and that is the God with whom we anchor our lives to. Over these next few weeks, this series is called Unshakable. Let me pray. Father, we're so thankful for this moment. I pray, God, in these moments that are left today, help me, I pray, as we explore together the truth of your word. Lord, I pray you'd help me to impart this good news to people today, that it'd be more than just information for heads, but it would become an impartation to people's souls so that wherever they find themselves right now, they would find a fixed point of reference that when everything is shaken, thank you, God, that we can be part of an unshakable generation because we're anchored to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey church, in the Bible, there's a book called the book of Ezekiel. And the book of Ezekiel is fascinating because what it does is it records for us a time in history when God's people, when they were literally in lockdown. And at the end of the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 48, verse 35, the last line of Ezekiel says this, and the name of the city will be the Lord is there. The Lord is there. Or if you like, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. And in this series, the first name that we're going to look at today is this, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. My question is this, is how do you know if God is there with you? Well, let me suggest a few ways. Firstly, some people judge God's presence by a feeling. You met people like that? People who judge God's presence by a shiver in the liver or a tingle down their spine. But I want to suggest to you today that feeling is a very poor marker to fix your relationship with Jesus Christ too. I think I've told you this story about my first love. Her name was Anne. I know her name was Anne because last week I texted my buddy in Australia and I said to him, hey, what was our year three primary teacher called? I only knew her as Miss Scarlett. He said, oh, her name was Anne. And he said, did you love her too? Miss Scarlett or Anne, she was my first love. I'm so thankful that emotions change in this moment in time. And I want you to know that in life, if you are simply judging God's presence in your life by feelings, it's a very poor marker because feelings come and go, emotions wax and wane. I want to suggest to you right now, church, that our God in heaven, he is received, welcomed, and approached, not through feelings, but by faith. Up here on stage, I have a chair. I don't think I've ever actually sat in this chair, but I want to define faith to you because faith is two things. Firstly, faith is believing. And so as I look at this chair, I believe that this chair can hold my weight. I believe it. I believe that the engineers have done a good job. I believe that the designers have designed it well. The people who manufactured it, who put it together, have done a good job. I believe because I've seen people sitting in this chair. And because of all those things, I believe. But I want you to know that belief in and of itself is not enough. We need more than belief. Certainly when it comes to God, the Bible says in James 2:19 that even the demons believe in God and shudder. We need more than belief. We also need to have the second part of faith, which is commitment. I believe the chair can hold my weight, and so I commit to now sitting in the chair, and through the joining of belief and commitment, there we have faith. So some people judge God's presence by a feeling, but I want you to know right now that God can't be fully understood experientially through feelings. The second thought is this, is that some people judge God's presence by a witness. You may have seen it in a movie or heard it in church, a preacher shouting out, "Hey, can I get a witness?" In other words, can someone else testify, confirm that what I'm saying is true? Literally, like a witness in a trial, can you confirm the evidence? Can you confirm the facts? Some people judge God's presence by a witness. But I want to ask you this question. What happens when you can't get a witness? What happens when someone else can't confirm the existence of God in your world and in your life? Is it possible that God can be with you right now and you not experience a feeling or get a witness from anybody else that He is? Well, certainly in the Bible, we have two examples of this. We have the example of Job in the Old Testament, who lost everything. And those around him, the witnesses, says, "You should curse God and die because He is not with you." And yet the end of the story is magnificent because God restored back to Job more than double that which he had lost. The witnesses were wrong. We have a moment in the New Testament when the two disciples have seen Jesus die on the cross, being put in a tomb, and the two disciples are walking down the Emmaus Road. They're walking down the road because any journey away from God is always a downward journey. And the Bible says that while these two disciples are walking together, despondent, that Jesus Himself comes and walks with them, and they were unaware of it. Is it possible that God is with you and you don't know it? Well, I want you to know that God can't be fully understood connectedly through a witness. The third thing is this, is some people judge God's presence by our ability to understand. There's something that is known as the God of the gaps theory. Take any scientific phenomena. If you take any scientific phenomena that can't be explained, some people say, well, if it can't be explained, it must be God. It's what we call the God of the gaps theory. The problem with the God of the gaps theory is this, is that the more science advances and discovers answers to questions, the more we can think that it diminishes God. I love John Lennox, who is the professor of mathematics from Oxford University. You should read everything by John Lennox. Here's what he says. He says, science does not disprove God. Science does not disprove God. The fact that we do science is evidence of God. Sir Isaac Newton, on discovering the law of gravitation, did not say, "Now I understand how the planets move. Now I don't need God." In fact, the more he understood about science, the more he worshipped God. He was saying, "I can explain a little bit, and the explanations are so brilliant that they can be compressed into mathematical formulae. That in and of itself is evidence of God." John Lennox goes on and says, "It's not the science I don't understand that points me to God. It's the science that I do understand that points me to God." And so right now, where some people judge God's presence by our ability to understand, I want you to know, church, that God cannot be fully understood academically or scientifically. The fourth thing is this, is that some people judge God's presence by positive answers to prayer. Don't you love it when God answers prayer? Don't you love it when you've been in a season of prayer and fasting, when you've put a prayer request onto the digital prayer wall? Don't you love it when you've been in our church auditoriums and you put prayer requests on the prayer walls and God has answered prayer? You know, usually when we talk about God answering prayer, we usually mean that God did what we asked Him to do. Are you ready for a drop the mic moment? Are you ready for some revelation?
Audacious Church, I want you to know that God always answers our prayers. It's just that sometimes we don't like the answer. You see, sometimes when we pray, God says no. And I'm pretty glad that all those years ago, when I was in year three and I was in love with Anne, I'm so glad that God said no. Because if he said yes, I'd right now be married to an 80-year-old woman. Sometimes God says wait. I remember the first time I ever prayed about the idea of Audacious Church being birthed. In that time, God said wait. God also says yes. And there was a time in the birthing of Audacious Church that God said yes. And I'm so thankful that he did. When you look at all we've been able to achieve together as a multicultural church, 86 nations represented. So thankful for our foundation that has given over 1,000 hampers away in recent weeks. I'm so thankful for all we can together achieve in Rwanda, all we can achieve in the schools, simply because there are times when God says no, God says wait, and God says yes. But friend, I want you to know that God cannot be fully understood positively. What do I mean by that? I mean through the positive answers to prayer. The fifth thing as I come in to land this message is this, is that some people judge God's presence by provision. Don't you love it when God provides? Don't you love it when a miracle comes into play? Don't you love it when God does something and provides out of the blue in a situation where you needed a miracle and God did a miracle? There are so many times that God's come through for me, and I know he's come through for you. This year, Sophie and I celebrate 25 years of marriage and 25 years in ministry. In fact, tomorrow we were due to go on what is known as long service leave, which many ministers take every 7 years. We've never done a long service leave. And as of tomorrow, we were due to have a holiday, get this, for 3 months. 3 months long service leave. 3 months to reflect and refresh and re-energize and pray and talk. And it's so true that over 25 years of ministry, I have seen God provide in miraculous ways. 24 and a bit years ago, my wife and I moved to Sheffield. Remember, we would go weekly to Aldi and the like with a calculator, because that week we would have £20 for groceries. And the amount of times in those early days that God came through, and he's still, even right now, there are certain things that my wife and I are believing God for, because he is the God of provision. I love how through the life of our church, how God has provided miraculously so many different times in so many different ways, in little ways, in big ways. Just the fact that we can do church like this together online, the miracle of technology, the miracle of the people who have the time and the energy, the skills, those who would volunteer their worship to God to make this happen. God truly has become the God of provision. And some people simply judge God's presence by provision. But friend, I want you to know that God cannot be fully understood provisionally through the provision that he makes available. Five things. So if you can't know him experientially, or you can't just know him through getting a witness, or academically, or positively, or through provision, how can you know God right now? The answer is simple. How can you know God? Do you want the secret? Friend, you may have been a Christian 10 years, 20 years, 40 years. Do you want to know the secret of knowing God? Do you want to know the secret of how you can know God? Well, the answer is really simple in this Unshakable series. That from the very outset of your life, the Lord has been there. Why can I say that? It's because his name is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there. The one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord is there. The Bible says, since before any of your days began, the Lord was there. The Bible says that as you were formed in your mother's womb, the Lord was there. The moment you were born, the Lord was there. Friend, I want you to know that before you knew him, the Lord was there. Nick Weston, we heard his story just a moment ago, that all the days and all the seasons of his life, the Lord was there. You've seen on our various stages today, you've seen Matt Hill and Tendo, you've seen Paul, you've seen Nav, you've seen Soph, Rafaro, you've seen all our people in every moment, in every season, the Lord has been there. Friend, I want you to know that in your good times, the Lord was there, but get this, in your bad times, the Lord was there. Pre-COVID, he was Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there. Post-COVID, he is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there. And right now in your life, mid-COVID, mid whatever tensions and anxiety and emotional wanderings you have and mental ill health may be on the increase, friend, you can know this, the Lord is there. Why? It's because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there. And so today what I do is this, is I read my Bible where it says he's Jehovah Shammah. I read it, I believe it. And so now the challenge is this, is will I commit on a daily basis to actually believing to a point where belief and commitment come together so that every day, every morning, every afternoon, every night, I can walk in the ongoing revelation that wherever I go and whatever I do, praise God, he is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Oh, church, what would happen this week if together we just made a commitment in belief and commitment, knowing the Lord is there? I think that in that moment, what would happen is this: anxiety would lift, emotional suffering would lift. I think the peace of God would come through in every situation, because in the midst of everything that is being shaken, one thing is not being shaken. That is Jehovah Shammah, the secret truth that the Lord is there. I want to take a moment to pray for you right where you are. So church, would you do me the honor of bowing your heads and closing your eyes? Maybe if you're with your family, you can take somebody by the hand right now. Because as I pray here, I want you to know that where you are, the Lord is there. So I'm going to pray that the Lord who is here and the Lord who is there would do something powerful in your life right now. Father, we're so thankful for this series. Lord, we're so thankful that when everything is being shaken, one thing is not shaking, and that is you. Thank you for this amazing truth today that you are Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there. Thank you for reminding us that on this particular day, in this unusual season, that you are here, that you are there. Jehovah Shammah, I pray right now that you would make your presence a reality in every person's life. More than a feeling, more than a witness, more than academic understanding, more than just through positive answers to prayer, and more than just through provision. I pray that right now, divinely, by your sovereign might, would you cause this truth to sink deep as an impartation into every mind, into every spirit, that your church, your children would know that you are there. Jehovah Shammah, we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We love you, church. Praying that the peace of God will transcend all understanding in this season. In Jesus' name. Amen.